Hello, and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Today on the show is Ellie Sekbek. If you are a boxing fan, you most likely stumbled upon his videos online. He runs ES News, a YouTube channel with more than 71,000 videos and something like 616 million views collectively to date. The LA Times recently did a feature about him, saying he could be the most influential reporter in boxing today. He's constantly working, always at gyms, always uploading new content. He even uploaded a video while we did this podcast. But what's interesting is he started as someone more into basketball and didn't really know anything about boxing. Then his focus shifted after a video he did with Manny Pacquiao. So I hope you enjoy.
From the Fox 11 studios in Los Angeles, California, it's the Olympic and Bundy podcast with host Kelly Taylor.
Ellie's fresh off an all-night shift. Yeah. Have you done any podcasts?
Never. First one. It's audio only, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Introduce yourself. Introduce where we are. What's the name of your podcast or your social media handle?
Hello. My name is Kelly Taylor, and we're here in the podcast studio at Olympic and Bundy, West LA, and the podcast is appropriately called Olympic and Bundy. And we're about to do a pod with the man, the myth, the legend, Ellie Sekbek. And hopefully you guys can all listen.
You are originally from where?
Cincinnati.
Which boxing superstar comes from Cincinnati?
Oh, right. We've been over this. Adrian, the problem, Broner.
I like Broner. He's really cool. He's very friendly. How much love does he get in the city of Cincinnati? He's a major celebrity.
Yeah, I think he's like loved and hated, you know? Like people either love him or they're sort of like, ugh, the problem. Didn't he train with Buddy LaRosa, or the guy who owns La Rosa's? Do you know that story? Someone who owns La Rosa's Pizza, which is a big pizza restaurant in Cincinnati, is also big into boxing and has like kind of a big boxing gym there that a lot of local boxers go to and work out there. And I think he used to go there. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
Could be. He took me into some, it's a high school, that the last Florida high school is a boxing gym. That's where you went.
Oh, that's right. You went to Cincinnati.
It was really awesome. The most hood city I've ever been to.
That's so funny. I know. I remember you told me that before. It's kind of like any city sort of gentrifying, but does Adrian Broner spend a lot of time in Cincinnati still?
Yeah. Oh. He gives back a lot to the community, buying stuff for people, and he's a big, he has a big heart. He's very generous. He gives homeless money, and just he helps people left and right.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
I went with him to lunch with 60 people. He paid for everybody.
What? That's not a problem. That's a blessing.
Now, you have your podcast. Where can people find it? They're going to watch this and say, we want to check it out.
Oh, good info. So this is available all the places that you can listen to podcasts. So if you have an iPhone, it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher. If you have an Android, it's on Google Play. You can also listen at olympicandbundy.com. We have an Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all at Olympic and Bundy. And I post it on mine too, which is Kelly Taylor.
You also post a lot of pictures on your Instagram.
Yes, I do. I've been backpacking a lot. So there's a lot of mountain pics lately up in the Sierra. Very beautiful. I just went there.
Ever see wild animals, bears or coyotes?
Yeah, I just went to Yosemite last summer in Hetch Hetchy, which is like the less crowded valley in Yosemite. And at our camp, a mama bear and three cubs came right up to us. And black bears aren't, like, you just kind of have to be big and say words to them, and they'll go away. But, yeah, I've seen a lot of bears. I've seen two rattlesnakes, which I think is more scary than a bear. And what else? Oh, I saw quails last weekend.
What do you do when you run into a rattlesnake?
Just avoid the area. Evacuate immediately. Get out of there. Yeah.
My last question. If I run into Adrian Broner in the near future, what are three questions I can ask him about Cincinnati that would impress him?
Oh, I would say Grater's ice cream or UDF homemade ice cream.
Okay.
I would say, what do you think about Pete Rose? And the 513 or the 859?
What's that?
513 is Cincinnati, but Northern Kentucky, 859 area code, a lot of people live in and commute in Cincinnati. And I'm from the 513. No. I take that back. East side or west side?
Okay. Ask them east side or west side. So there you have it. Make sure to follow Kelly Taylor right here. Pico and Olympic.
Olympic and Bundy.
Olympic and Bundy. Olympicandbundy.com.
Bundy and LaGrange.
Stay tuned. FacebookReport.com. Let me sit back reporting.
Is that what you always record on?
Lately, yes. I went to England for a week and the entire week in England. I uploaded about 90 videos a day, everything through the phone. I covered an entire event just with an iPhone. Never done that before because the Wi-Fi over there for my files, for my camera, the Wi-Fi wasn't strong enough in England. So from the phone, it was much easier to upload everything. And no one could tell the difference because I do the editing on the phone. I put the banners and everything.
Wait, you just went to England?
Mm-hmm.
When? Last week?
Last week.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Bolton, Birmingham, and that's it, pretty much. Two blue-collar cities, but very nice, it was a great experience.
I have talked about this a lot on here, but I used to live in Birmingham. In Birmingham.
I didn't know
and
that.
And it's really fun. It's like, I think when you get there, it's not the most beautiful city. Like you said, it's kind of... It's industrial.
Detroit.
Yeah, it looks like it. But there's a lot of universities there. There's a lot to do. Like, I lived there when I was 20. 20, yeah. And it was so much fun.
I had a great time. Everybody was super nice. Mm-hmm. Amir Khan, the boxer, fought. And it was just a great experience, start to finish.
So when you do a trip like that across the ocean, are you traveling with... an athlete, or are you just kind of showing up?
For such a big trip, I would let them know I'm coming.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you have credentials or... I'll pay for the hotel and the flights. So you don't have to worry about that. But if it's local here, anywhere in the U.S., I just pop up.
I just show up.
And you roll with the dice. If they're there, good. If no, you keep it moving. But I usually don't plan.
Really?
I keep it spontaneous.
How many times do you travel internationally a year?
Maybe 5-6 times. It's crazy because I've been to China. I was just in England. I'm going to the Ukraine next week for a week. There's a very big boxing convention that I got invited to. So I'm going to go check that out. And the mayor of Kiev is Vitali Klitschko, the former heavyweight champion. And right now, Ukraine have a guy named Vasyl Lomachenko, who's one of the best fighters in the world. They have another fighter named Usyk, who's one of the best. And they have another fighter... named Alex Vozdik, who trains in Oxnard. So does Lomachenko. They train locally, but they're Ukrainian national heroes. Their posters are banners, billboards all over the country.
Wow. It obviously is a big cost out of your pocket to go internationally, but it pays off. It's worth it.
Correct. It pays off. It's worth it. And the best part is, every day we do our same routine and we see the same people. I cover boxing. So for me to meet new audiences, one of the reasons I went to England, boxing is huge in England. It's bigger in England than it is here. If they have some fights, they draw 90,000 fans to boxing events. So I cover boxing. I wanted to bring some of the audience over to my site, to ES News. So I have to go there myself and introduce myself. And I got a very, very warm reception. I'm walking down the street and I posted the video on my Instagram. And a car slams on the brakes, and they yell out my name, and they drive off. I thought that was pretty cool.
When you were in England?
I didn't expect that, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be kind of weird.
It is, but it's different. You know, I was very impressed. I didn't expect that.
Wow. So I was reading. Oh, by the way, doesn't Yom Kippur begin this evening?
Yes, it is. We got to go prepare. And once we're ready, it's going to be a day of atonement of no eating, no drinking for 25 hours.
25 hours. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you're... Wow. Okay, so this is audio only, obviously, but yeah. Ellie just edited a video in 5 seconds.
But I just have to make sure I get the spelling right, because that's the most important thing. Everything else, I don't care.
Kelly Taylor.
So we're good.
Kelly with a Y.
That's good. And now we're going to get ready to render it and post it. That's it.
Wow.
We're in assembly line mode.
I see the man doing his work in the flesh. So I was reading about Yom Kippur. You say Yom Tov.
That is.
You could say that, right?
Yes, that is correct. It's a day of reflection. It's a day with no cell phones, no electricity. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people who observe it different ways, but if you want to observe the authentic way, it's just basically you go to pray at night, you come home, you wake up, you go back to pray all day, maybe have a break for 30 minutes. It's all day you're just praying and you're cleansing yourself.
A day of atonement.
Correct.
Right?
No eating, no drinking. And then back to, you know, routine on Thursday.
Normal life.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
So tonight at sunset, you
about 6:40,
begin fasting.
Begin fasting, and you walk to the prayer service, wherever it is. If you're in LA, you'll see a lot of people walking.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, there'll be no cars on the freeway, so people are going to have an easy drive. And the fast is not hard. It's not. You don't feel it till 3 in the afternoon, and then maybe 3 to 4, you're a little hungry. And then the last hour, you're good to go another 4 hours.
Yeah, you've made it this far.
Yeah, when you're a kid, when you're 7, 8, or 9, you're like, how much can I fast? And sometimes you don't even last the first evening because you come home and you're thirsty. But I think it's nice. It's a good way. When I was talking to Mikey Garcia, one of the best fighters in the world, he said about it. He's like, that's a great holiday. Like, he liked it.
Aww.
Because sometimes he asked me different questions about, like, the dietary laws.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat pork and... He gave me a quote. He says, some people give up pork for religion and some people give up religion for pork. So I said, I never had pork.
I gave up my religion for bacon.
Yes.
Aw.
So that's what he was saying. But it's nice. And I'm actually looking forward to the holiday today. Just a break. Because every day I go 20 hours a day and I just go crazy. So it's good to just slow down and just
chill.
Yeah.
You're a nonstop.
We live... This is my philosophy. It's always 8 o'clock in the morning somewhere. So the internet's always on. It's not 9 to 5. And we live in... So much information is flying at people at once. Twitter, Instagram, your email, TV, radio, podcast. You have to grab the audience and maintain them. So what works for me may not work for other people. Everybody have their own system. For me, it's just overload. And I have one topic, which is boxing. A little bit MMA, a little bit other stuff. Obviously, I'm posting this, but you grab my audience, and I want to keep them. So I have to keep giving them videos so they come back 50 times a day.
Yeah. I was looking at your YouTube channel, actually, this morning, because I know that you upload multiple videos a day, but you upload tons a day.
I've uploaded over 140 sometimes.
In one day?
It's cookie cutter. It's assembly line. And I have people helping me. It's not just me. So I may have a couple reporters in New York. Couple of reporters in LA, a reporter in England now that I just found recently, and he's very soon going on his first assignment, so let's hope it goes well. But in the end of the day, I like to upload at least 20 a day minimum. If I get to my 20, that's my minimum.
Gotcha.
And then from there, I always pass it though. And if there's a day I don't reach it, it's okay, not the end of the world.
Has there ever been a day where you didn't upload a single video?
Yom Kippur, we're not going to upload. I'm not going to upload. If somebody else does, that's there. But
I'm not
posting. There are some days if you're traveling, if you go overseas or, like you asked me about the travel. I think after I got married and went on a honeymoon, I probably didn't upload for a week.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in places with no internet, so it does happen sometimes, but not often.
I remember you told me that when you moved from Israel to California, you played basketball.
Yes.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but I was reading in the LA Times article that came out about you that you started doing some sports reporting for Israeli news outlets, right? Was that just all sports?
First of all, it was the NBA. And I interviewed Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant on a regular basis. And they liked my style of questioning. With Shaquille O'Neal, it was always your mama jokes. With Kobe Bryant, it was bets. I would bet him all kinds of crazy bets. And it was different. They liked it because every day people asked them, it's a lot of pressure to be a professional athlete, especially with the Lakers, especially for winning championships. So they liked the break from routine.
Yeah.
So if Craig Sager, rest in peace, one of the sideline reporters would show up with a really crazy jacket, I'd go, Shaq, would you wear a jacket like that? Only if your mother bought it for me. And then stuff like that, so we'd go back and forth. And with Kobe, one time I bet him that if he hits a half-court shot, I will walk to Israel. Lakers are playing Dallas. He hits a three-quarter of a court shot in the last second. He walks up to me. He goes, you got to walk twice to Israel because that was a further shot.
Oh, my God.
You know, so stuff like that. But because of the way I covered the NBA, YouTube sent me in 2012 to cover the Olympics in London for 6 weeks, which was a crazy experience.
So when you were covering, when you were doing these interviews with Kobe and Shaq, was this, where was this living? Fan house?
That was, first it was just on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because I was writing for Drill.
On your own YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then Fan House would jack my videos every day. So I contacted them and said, listen, instead of you just taking my videos, why don't you just hire me? And they did.
Gotcha.
And then from that, NBC TV hired me.
So
and
this is what, like 2009?
No, way before. I started covering the NBA in 97 for newspapers, 2001, 2003, up to 2008. 2008, I switched over to boxing.
Gotcha. Because YouTube started when, like 2005, 2006?
Something like that, 06, 07, I think.
So did you just, do you remember the first time when you discovered YouTube and you thought, these belong on YouTube?
Oh, it's a funny story I'm going to tell you. I had a friend who was a reporter for the LA Times. Her name was Valerie Gutierrez. She then became a news anchor. And I used to make VHS tapes. This is how little I knew about TV. I would make 30-minute demos, not realizing that people watch 10 seconds and throw the tape on the floor. Like, they love you or hate you within 10 seconds, maybe even less. But I thought, this is such a great. So I gave out, you know, VHS tapes, and she watched, and she says, it's great stuff. You need to share it with the world. Everybody will meet you in LA. Every network met me. Sometimes I met ESPN, and they put a sheet of paper, and they say, we're going to meet. Every idea you give us, don't sue us if we take your ideas. And I'm like, nah, I'm feeling uncomfortable because you're going to give away all your ideas. So I'm like, I'm going to leave. And sometimes people will meet with you, and they say, we only want to know how much the Lakers had, how much the Clippers had. We're not interested in Shaq's cars or Kobe's house. We're not interested. It doesn't, it's not what we do. Because in America, sport, for me, sport is escape from reality. For 2 hours, forget about every problem, forget about every issue in your life, and you can focus on a basketball game, on a boxing match, and things that way you forget about the whole world. You zone out and you enjoy yourself. Here, sometimes they cover sports like nuclear science. To me, it's boring. I can't watch ESPN sometimes. It's like watching CNN. No disrespect to CNN. But you guys recycle.
A lot of talking heads.
Yes. I can't. Yeah, too much. They wanted to put me on some of those shows on ESPN and after, you know, never mind. When you talk and you're opinionated, sometimes it backfires. But for me, just sports is an escape from reality. So what I was saying was I'm meeting all these networks. I'm posting stuff. I'm sending my demos, and it's really funny. Really, I have a video on YouTube. My first video on YouTube is called NBA Players and Hecklers, where I go into Phoenix Suns locker room, and I have them heckle me, and I answer them. It's pretty good stuff. And then Roger Bell, the star.
It's still on your YouTube channel?
Everything's there. I made a mistake in the beginning. I deleted stuff. So anyways, I'm doing my demos, and I'm getting just rejection after rejection after rejection. I used to keep all that. I had a huge pile of rejection from TV networks, radio stations, newspapers. They all told me, I'm not what they're looking for. Because many times reporters here are sliced from the same loaf of bread. They look the same, they sound the same, they went to Ivy League school, they have great education, their vocabulary will be way better than mine will ever. They all fit in a certain box. I don't fit in that box. So Valerie Gutierrez, the LA Times reporter, said there's a new website and you have to put your stuff on YouTube. And I said, no, that's unprofessional. I'm a journalist. I'm published in newspapers.
So at this time, you're looking to be a sports journalist.
Correct.
Maybe work for a network.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Correct. I just wanted to be like a
You're what, like early 20s?
I'm 26.
Okay.
So I'm 26. I believe in myself. I say I could do it because these guys are boring. I'm not going to be boring. I'm going to be exciting. I'm going to bring something new to the table. But they... every person I met, Best Damn Sports Show back then was a sports show.
Yeah.
They wanted to hire me. So many times I came close, but every time I cut it. The only station that was going to hire me was Yuma, Arizona for a sports reporter thing.
Yuma.
And I'm like, man, I can't go make $18,000 a year. That's hard to live on. Like, and they said, no, you could get a second job. I'm like, I'm not going to leave LA. Mm. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. So she told me about YouTube. And she twisted my arm and kicked me in the shins because I refused to post my stuff on YouTube. I told her, no, it's unprofessional. So I post a video on YouTube, the Hecklers video. Second video I posted was NBA players singing Hanukkah songs. And the same news outlets that before told me they'll never hire me, when they saw those videos getting views, and back then 10,000 views was viral, it's crazy. 2,000, mm-hmm. LA Times, when I met with them, 2,000 views was great online. So after the Hanukkah songs, LA Daily News hired me. And then from there it just grew and grew and grew. And all the people that rejected me at first were now coming and like, okay, we'll work with you, we'll work with you.
Yeah.
And it just got a life of its own.
And I was reading that you weren't necessarily that into boxing originally.
Not at all.
Interviewed Manny Pacquiao, and that was the first video that you noticed that there were a lot of views, right?
So this is what happened. Initially, I'm from Israel, and in Israel, boxing really doesn't exist. There's obviously one out of three people in Israel is Russian. So when all the Russian immigrants came, they brought boxing with them. But before that, really non-existent. Judo, great. Every Olympics, Israel wins medals in judo. It's the only medals they win. Krav Maga, obviously people like to fight. And basketball and soccer. That's what basketball. But I didn't know anything. I remember as a kid, I bought boxing gloves, and my mom told me, what are you doing? It's dangerous. Don't do that. Like, go take karate. But no mom really wants their kid to get punched in the face. So a friend of mine is a very, very big businessman from here to the Philippines. He imports all the pearls. And there's an area called... it's in South Philippines. I forgot the name right now. But they import freshwater pearls or saltwater pearls. I don't remember. But he told me about this guy, Manny Pacquiao, who's a superstar to the whole country. 90 million people freeze when he fights. No crime in the street. And when he's on a plane and they announce, the whole plane goes crazy. So I said, I'm going to check it out. It sounds like a good story, but I never heard of the guy. So I go interview Manny. He speaks very little English, very smiling. I was like, okay. Upload the video. And I'm used to interviewing LeBron, Kobe, Shaq, getting 10,000, 15,000 views, which is incredible. This guy got 300,000 views on the first night. Yeah, so I was like, wait a minute.
So that's by far the biggest video that you have at the time.
Yes, big time. Huge. And I slowly started to scale off the NBA. And I was with FanHouse, it's AOL Sports, and started covering boxing. All the views from the Philippines that we got on a regular basis made the boxing the number. Even though we were on page 10, we were the number one because the views from the Philippines every day was so much. It was millions of people. FanHouse was bought out by Sporting News, who said we don't cover boxing. So that chapter ended, and then I pushed more emphasis on ES News. Because before, when you're working with that outlet, you take it easy because you feel comfortable. You're less motivated than if you work for yourself. So I'm doing stuff for FanHouse. I started covering boxing. I got to know Manny very well for 6 months. I went to his gym every day. I didn't take a day off. And then I ran into the crew from Oxnard, Robert Garcia. His nephew, Pelos, invited me to the gym. Pelos,
and you did a kind of, you followed him for a while. You did some type of reality show with him, right?
Yeah. And everyone still asks me about the reality. They want me to bring it back. If you want to watch, type in Robert Garcia reality show. It's hilarious.
So wait, I'm confused. So you weren't that into boxing, but you noticed that there's a huge untapped market of kind of behind the scenes boxing videos. So that's basically what made you pivot to just specifically cover boxing. And then you just went all in.
No, there were a few reasons. One was the views, which is always good. But if I covered music or entertainment or comedy, maybe I'll get even more views. So it's not necessarily just the views. What I realized when I covered NBA, back then, there were 50 to 200 other media outlets. And it's hard for an individual to compete with a network because ESPN will have much more access.
Right.
Fox Sports will get the one-on-ones. Boxing is much more of a blue-collar sport. You could walk in a gym, walk out with 80 interviews, and everybody's going to be happy to talk to you. And you're going to talk to the biggest superstars in the sport. Same thing with MMA, similar. But you can't just walk into the Lakers practice facility. And I had friends in the NBA who played. I developed relationships over the years. So I'm driving from here to Sacramento. 5 hours into the seven-hour drive, I get a text or a call. Not today. My girlfriend just came over. And you have to go, okay, never mind. Let me make a U-turn and go back home. And it's happened. They're very flaky because they don't need exposure. They're making $15, $20, $30 million. What do they need? It's cool, and then they change their mind.
Right.
Or the worst one, come over, but don't bring your camera. I don't want to hang out.
Yeah.
So the productivity level with boxing, back then no one was covering boxing with videos, no one. And everyone was stuck in 1970 with print or audio. So I started doing the videos and it just worked and the affection and the attention that I got from the boxing fans. NBA fans are very bougie. They know you, they watch you, but they won't acknowledge you. Exactly. Different level, but this is more from gang members, hardcore gang members, to big business people, the billionaires, everyone, they all watch boxing. It's crazy. I could work a red carpet in Hollywood, and half of the people on the red carpet, the celebrities, watch boxing, and they end up watching ES News because they love the sport. So it's been a bridge to reach out to a lot of people. So it's been just a crazy, crazy experience. It's taken me to China twice. It's taken me to Azerbaijan, which I didn't even know there was a country like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then now Ukraine for the second time. And the people and the experiences is just something else.
I was reading on Reddit. Your name's on Reddit a lot, by the way.
No, I'm sure I got lots of haters, but that's okay because part of it, being in the spotlight, you're going to get a lot of heat, and you have to know to be made out of Teflon.
That was one of my questions, actually, did you learn that immediately, or was that sort of like a mentality that you've developed over time to not pay attention to like YouTube comments? Because that's obviously a scary place, the YouTube comment section.
I've had major celebrities from Victoria's Secret models to superstar boxers ask me, hey, if I get a negative comment on the video, can you please delete it? Now, 10 years before I was on YouTube, when I covered NBA, one of my bets with Kobe, where if he hits a half-court shot, I have to do 200 push-ups. A friend of mine, I thought was my friend, because I was cool with everybody, wrote an article for Sports Illustrated and trashed me. I was more mad that they didn't use my name. I was like, if you're going to do that, at least put my name. Yeah. I don't care what you say. Just being Sports Illustrated, I thought that would be so cool, but you didn't use my name. It's kind of a missed opportunity. So that was my first taste with it. And after that, I'm like, okay, it's going to happen. Never thought to the scale where now it could be 30,000 times a day. People are going to tell you you're an idiot. You don't know what you're doing. I hate you. If I see you, I'm going to stab you. I get a lot of, but it's different when they see you in person. Mm-hmm. Rarely, only twice out of 10, 12 years of meeting thousands of people, two people really wanted to fight. But for the most part, and that's always okay because there's 20 boxers behind me and they have my back. But
yeah.
For the most part, it's just online rhetoric. And right. And when they see you in person, it's different. You kind of get immune to it. And you have to realize that the online world and the real world is not the same. And I try to explain it to people because people think, let's say there's someone who posts online that they're with fancy cars. Or that they live the best life. Mm-hmm. But that's not the reality. It's
image.
So I get it. People are opinionated and it's easy to talk trash. And you can hide behind your phone, behind your computer. I'll never know who you are. So I would tell anyone that gets tons of heat online, just smile. And there's no such thing as bad publicity. You can always turn it into something bigger. You could turn it into something better.
Definitely. I was reading also, because it seems like your videos are very raw.
Yes.
And it seems like fans of boxing who watch it get to see things that maybe they normally wouldn't see because it's so raw, and almost like, I don't know, maybe get to know some of these fighters a little bit more personally than in traditional interviews, right?
When a network comes to cover a fight, they bring a crew of 20 people. You're going to have 5 shooters, 3 editors, 2 directors, a boss, a driver, catering, craft services. And they're going to spend 24 hours of shooting and upload a 30-minute piece. If I'm shooting 24 hours, I'm uploading 24 hours.
Right.
And they get to see all the small things, the gloves that they wear, the banter, the characters. Boxing's full of characters. The people that walk in gyms, there's so many.
You probably see some crazy stuff because every time I see you, you're on your way to a gym. I mean, I feel like you hang out at gyms all the time, just getting tons and tons of video content, right?
I've uploaded over 71,000 videos. And someone told me I hold the record. I doubt it, but
I looked this morning. This is why I have paper, because I wanted to remember this. Right now you have collectively more than 616 million views on all those videos.
That's a good jump, because just yesterday I was 615. So thank you everyone for tuning in.
That's so crazy. I read, this is a nice comment that I read, which I feel like speaks a lot about what you do. Someone said, I personally believe that Ellie Sec box videos are the closest thing to inside realities of camps. It shows personal mentalities of the camps as a whole and training styles. He asks the questions that the big network reporters aren't asking or can't ask. Is that something that you know, when you're in front of people and you get a chance to ask them things, are you thinking that? Or are you just sort of saying sort of like whatever comes to mind? Are you trying to like get them to laugh? You know, like what's your process when you interview someone?
It's a mixture, because sometimes there are hot topics and you want to ask them about anything. Let's say Colin Kaepernick, what's your take on that?
Oh yeah.
Or what do you think about Mayweather saying he's coming back? And then sometimes it's just pure spontaneous nonsense in the gym that becomes priceless moments.
Yeah. But I would argue that moments like that also make the fighter more endearing. You know what I mean?
It humanizes them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because every fighter is trying to put the post, I'm a badass. But when you get to see how funny they are, or their sense of humor, or their personality, or like, Ellie, I want to slap you, and I want to punch you, and everybody laughs, like, yeah, you should slap him.
Hmm. So you upload, obviously, a lot of videos per day. If you're editing on your phone, are you just using iMovie?
No. There's a new app. I'm going to tell people some of my secrets. It's called InShot.
InShot?
InShot. I'm going to show you an example how it works. So okay. You click on the app, and you go to videos. I'm going to go to a new project, and I'm going to click this video, import it, and then render it, and it's ready to go. But, if, oh, sorry.
You're fine.
Now, if I want to cancel it and just change it, because you can add a graphic, you can add an intro. There's a lot you could do all on the phone, and it's just like editing on a computer, but it's way, way faster.
Wow.
Because I could be on the road, that's my intro, and I could copy it and duplicate it, I mean, and then move it to the front and the back, and there you have it. So
something like this is basically essential for what you do. If you're shooting all the time and uploading that many videos per day, it would be impossible without having something like that, right?
Yeah, but it's also, it helps, but you have to stay updated with everything, because I never thought you could shoot an entire event on a phone in another country. That wasn't an option 5 years ago.
Yeah.
6 years ago. People, because the batteries, the quality of the camera, it looked, when I first started using the phone, the quality of the video when you upload it looked like you shot it in Fallujah underwater. It was grainy. It was like, now the quality is so good, it's better than my camera sometimes. My camera's 4K.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it's crazy, and the speed that it uploads. And everybody wants information. If the food was ready in 15 seconds, they want it in 3. Mm-hmm. And if you're the first one to upload, you're going to get the views. So it's that competition. Now, if I'm in a gym and nobody else is there, I could take my time sometimes.
Right.
Would I like to sometimes edit my piece a little better and make sure that it looks perfect? Yes. But we don't have time because people want it now. Mm-hmm. It's just the way society is right now. Maybe if that changes in the future and people will be more patient.
Right.
You could go back to the old system of, if I worked for LA Daily News, every day I did one video. Can you imagine 8 hours focusing on one video? The pieces looked amazing.
Right.
And with tracks and intros, just like a TV package.
Yeah.
But now in that same one day, I'm going to try to upload 50.
Yeah. But what I like about what you do is everything's so, like if you just edited one video per day and, you know, did some beautiful voiceover work and some great transitions and whatever, edited a beautiful package, everything's so filtered like that now, you know?
Not only filtered, but this is what it is. Boxing is like a common man sport. And you want to see the fighters like human beings just chilling and giving the stuff that in a format, in a TV, won't fit. It mm-hmm. only could fit online because right now we have endless space. We're not limited. Maybe YouTube one day will say everybody can only upload 10 videos a day, which may happen one day because of space. But if I'm part of a newscast and they give me 30 seconds for my piece, I only have 30 seconds to choose. So I make one soundbite and a little bit of B-roll of them training, which ends up happening.
Yeah.
So for my format, what I do, it's working because it's as much information. If you love the sport or you love a certain fighter, you want to consume it all.
Yeah. Do you think most people are coming to your channel via searching for a person and then they land on your channel? Or are a lot of people just boxing fans in general, so they're watching just every video? You know what I mean?
I do, but I think it changes every day. Hmm. And I'll give an example. If there's a big fight, they're coming for the big fight. That's where I have to be clever with my headlines. And that's why I have to make sure that I post stuff that people would want to see.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's hard to get the eyeballs. It's very hard to get the traction. So you have to interview the right people. Go to the right gyms. Because sometimes there'll be a great fighter, but he has the personality of a cactus. And, like, it's hard to get any emotion out of him. And sometimes you may have a fighter that's not the best in the world, but his personality is larger than life. And he's just so funny and outgoing and always cracking jokes. So I'd rather go to him because I know there's some rhyme and reason behind it. But where do the hits come from? From everywhere. Because I went with my wife on a honeymoon. We went to many countries. And in every country, we ran into someone. My wife doesn't really know what I do.
Uh-huh.
And she's not into boxing and not into, like, she knows, okay, I covered a sport, but she doesn't understand exactly the capacity of it. So maybe now she does, but in the beginning, he just covers boxing. You know?
Right,
She was more excited about other things that I do, not the boxing part. But people come because I was a fighter from the Ukraine, so I bring in the Ukrainian. Manny Pacquiao from the Philippines, I bring in the Filipinos. Brandon Rios, or Mikey Garcia, Mexican, they bring in Mexican-American. Canelo's Mexican from Mexico. Puerto Rican fighters. So you bring in people from all walks of life, and they may come in and check one video, but this is what I get a lot. A true story. I posted this video. So I was in Vegas this week. I covered Canelo Triple G fight. And this gentleman, he's a big real estate guy. He comes up to me. He goes, I got to tell you a funny story. I'm like, okay. He goes, every night I watch your videos. And every night my wife yells at me. She's thinking I'm watching adult films. And he's like, tell me the story. He's like, my wife's going to kill me for saying it, but I'm posting this video. And thank you, Ellie. A lot of wives and girlfriends are mad at me because people start watching one video, but they end up being awake 2-3 hours in bed.
Yeah, getting sucked down the rabbit hole.
One after another.
Yeah, it seems like you're pretty savvy. It seems like someone who's, you know, making an income from YouTube, you really got to think outside the box. Like, I saw a video you posted recently, and it was just about a tweet that LeBron put out about Canelo, and that had a ton of views.
Nobody understood what I was trying to say in that. I was trying to say that I think, in general, athletes, if they have a publicist running their social media, I want to see an asterisk. I want to know when it's the athlete tweeting and when it's just the corporate head, something making sure their Nike rep, their Reebok rep, or whoever just wants to maintain the image. Don't tweet, Canelo, great job. You look like a gentleman in the ring. Nobody talks like that.
Yeah.
And if it's LeBron, I want to see a video. Mm-hmm. Hey, Canelo, you did great.
Right, to prove that it actually came from him.
Nobody understood. I looked at the comments. I'm like, everybody, I went over everybody. Everybody's like, Ellie, what the hell are you talking about? They just didn't get what I was trying to say, so sorry.
Does that happen a lot, do you think?
No. It doesn't happen too often because I'm joking all the time. It's when I'm serious, they don't get me. So I shouldn't be serious. I just keep joking. But am I wrong?
No. Well, what I mean is, does it happen a lot that someone would tweet for LeBron, for example?
I think so. Because really? I can tell, I know the athletes, and I know how they talk, and I know when there's no spelling mistakes, and I know when it's polished, and I know some guys don't talk smack. They're so polite and so nice.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden tweets come out, so I know it's their manager, because I know how he talks.
Gotcha.
But I think if that's the case, put a little asterisk. Same thing with Hollywood celebrities.
Yeah.
Sometimes I interview them, just like you do. I said, what's your social media? Has it ever happened to you where they don't know their own social media?
Here on Good Day LA, it has. Definitely.
And they have 500,000 followers, and they go, hold on, Ellie. Come here, so-and-so. Tell him.
No, that's a big job. Ellen has people that run her social media accounts. And it's so funny, because if you follow a person, you just assume it's them putting it out there. So if you're trusting someone else to tweet for you or post on Instagram for you or Facebook, whatever, that's a big job. If you have that big of an audience.
Sometimes it works in reverse. 4 a.m, Kobe Bryant followed me on Twitter. I know it's him because I know he's up all night. Uh-huh. 8 a.m, he unfollowed me when his assistant got it and say, wait, what's this all this boxing nonsense? I'm unfollowing this guy. I thought that was pretty funny. I did a screenshot of him following me. I thought that was cool.
By the way, I saw that. I didn't know this, but you're in Lil Wayne's song about Kobe Bryant. And baby Ellie.
I thought about suing him.
Did you?
I don't know. I feel like a statute of limitations. Because this is the story. First, I was excited. I'm in a Lil Wayne song. I'm sampled 6 times in a song. My voice is in there. And then I posted the song on my YouTube channel. I got flagged for copyright. I'm like, he stole my YouTube channel, my YouTube videos to make a song, and I can't even post it on my own.
Yeah. So no one contacted you and was like, hey, we're gonna use this.
Lil Wayne jacked me. But it's okay because he got a bottle to the face. So it all... He was walking. Let me tell you what happened. Chino Maidana fought Mayweather and lost, but he had a great fight. The first time they fought, maybe a draw, maybe one, maybe. So he and his team, my friend Robert Garcia, walking out of the arena singing. And someone yelled out, why are you guys singing? You guys lost. So Robert had a bottle of ice, turned around and threw it. And it hit. And Lil Wayne was the guy yelling, and it hit him right in the face. So Lil Wayne was picked up by Mayweather security, and he was like his arms and legs dangling in the air. I have the video, but people told me, oh, take down the video because you can have gang members show up at the gym and shoot it up. I was naive back then, and I took it down. I was like, no one would ever come shoot a gym over a video. So I have to find the video. If I could find it, so I'll repost it. But I just don't remember what I tagged it. Mm-hmm. When you have 71,000 videos and you didn't type exactly what you wanted to, you may never find it in your library.
Oh, yeah. You got a giant library. Man, Lil Wayne was like hit after hit after hit after hit. I feel like all of the late 2000s, it was just Lil Wayne, Lil Wayne, Lil Wayne, Lil Wayne.
It was. He did great, and I wish he asked permission for that song. I would have said, okay, just give me an interview or something, but now if I do, I'm going to say pay up.
If you saw him right now, would you be like, would you bring that up?
Yes, I would say, why'd you steal my video to make a song? And he'd look at me. I bet he was so high. He was so lit. He probably won't even remember what I'm talking about. But that song did do great.
Yeah.
And I remember Power 106 called
me. And you know what, though? Your face, your voice... Publicity, right?
Many times I get recognized for competing boxing websites because when I do an interview, they stand behind me, record my own interview, and post it on their site. So I would be in a food court somewhere talking to someone, and someone would go, hey, so-and-so from that website, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, why you say that? Because the voice.
So what do you think about, like, in 10 years for ES News? Like, do you have kind of some goals, I guess, like things in your mind? Like, I'd like to kind of expand in this or...
Maybe Netflix, 30-minute show a week. Maybe Amazon TV, maybe Showtime, maybe... I have a friend who's a very, very big director in Hollywood, and he had a lunch with the president at HBO, and he told me, you need to fire all your boxing crew, which they love, and the legendary people in boxing, and hire Ellie Secback. That lunch didn't go well. But you never know where it goes. Right now, the focus is just ES News grow as much as I can, grow as much as ES News brand could grow. And if a big network, ESPN, invests and buys in it or teams up with it, because it used to be a time where if you had a very successful site, a major outlet would come, Time Warner, and migrate. Mm. So that could happen at some point. Maybe a Fox, maybe a CNN. So,
yeah, no, that definitely. And I don't know a lot about who covers boxing, but the LA Times said something really interesting, basically calling you one of the most influential boxing reporters out there because influential, the most influential boxing reporter today. And I feel like I was surprised to learn that there isn't a lot of outlets dedicated to covering boxing anymore, right?
There are hundreds, but they don't cover it like I cover it. So I'll give you an example. There's a fight in January, a fight in April, a fight in May. They're going to cover January, take a break for a month or two, come back in April. With me, it's daily, and it's volume. So if you love basketball, you go to NBA.com. You love baseball, MLB.com.
Right.
Football, ESPN. But if you love boxing and you want tons of content daily, every day tons, you're going to come to ES News. And yes, people see my format, and a lot of people copy it. I understand. It's just the way it is. If something works, right?
Yeah.
So I have to outwork everybody.
Dang.
So it's just staying ahead of the competition, maintaining relationships with people, with the fighters. A relationship is more important to me than views because I get crazy videos, but if I post them, I might kill the relationship. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure that you've given a lot of people more early publicity, you know, when they were sort of a prospect.
And nobody wanted to talk to them.
Yeah,
and they were invisible. Yep.
And then if you keep the relationship, you know, you maintain a friendship with someone, then obviously as they progress and get more successful, then...
Yeah, no, of course. And the key is, look, everybody's human beings. And one thing I've never learned, though, I still don't know how to do, even after 10, 11 years in boxing, or, yeah, 9 years, sorry. When a fighter loses, there's nothing you could say. There's nothing. You just have to give them space, give them a week or two. Because if you say, I've done this before, hey, keep your head up. And they'll be like, forget you. What the hell? I just
lost. Yeah.
Everybody takes a loss a certain way. Some fighters shut down and just disappear. Some fighters overdo it, like too outgoing, as if nothing happened because they're trying to act like they're normal. But really, they're covering up how... So that's one thing. When somebody wins, it's great. But when they lose, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So once they calm down, a week or two, I'll just text them, like, you doing or doing okay, you know.
So what are you doing the rest of the day?
Well, today's Yom Kippur, so I'm probably going to go home, chill a little bit, maybe upload a couple videos because I can't help myself, and then eat something before the fast.
What's going to be your meal before the fast?
I haven't decided yet.
Something
maybe
good?
Chicken soup. Yeah, chicken soup. And
you always have amazing kosher snacks.
Yes, but I don't know if I'm going to take snacks. I'll save the snacks for afterwards. Just water and juice and coffee. It's the way I work every day. I only eat once a day, so it won't be too different than regular day, except the praying all day. That's a tough part.
Mm.
Being in one place, I think I'm too jumpy. I'm too hyper to just be in one spot.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I'm going to be covering boxing and be good at it in a sport that I know zero about, I would have been like, not an option. Basketball, I knew. I played it my whole life. I watched it my whole life. I knew every player in the NBA, A to Z, all 300 players. I knew them all by name. Boxing, I don't know every fighter. I mean, now I'm already caught up. But when I started, I didn't know who Manny Pacquiao was. And now to have his personal number, it's just weird how, like, and now I have three different teams contacting me to get his information and maybe have his next fight. It's just weird.
Yeah. I mean, you saw an opportunity and seized it, I feel like.
Yeah, and I'm still learning about the business of boxing because I don't know that side. I deal with the trainers and fighters, but right now boxing is in the most popular point it's been in many, many years. there's a promoter from England named Eddie Hearn. He has a platform that gave him $1 billion. It's called The Zone. $1 billion to put up fights in The Zone. Fox just signed a deal with Al Haymon, who has many, many champions, for 16 fights on Fox. Like Fox 11, you're going to watch boxing. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, just did the thing with Facebook. So all these platforms are covering boxing. It wasn't the case 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you only had HBO and a little bit of Showtime, or Showtime and HBO, that's it. Maybe ESPN once a week.
So do you think that that's better for you? Because there's more eyeballs on boxing, so more interest on boxing, so maybe more people searching for, you know, extra content on these fighters?
I think so, because all the networks are still a big... It's better to have a small and efficient army than a big clumsy one. There's still huge outlets that are very slow, and when they shoot something, they top quality, but it takes them 6 weeks to do a 30-minute... one. I already posted all what they have in the 30 minutes. Sometimes they get mad at me, and they say, HBO once told Robert Garcia years ago in Oxnard, we don't want Ellie in your gym. Robert Garcia took my picture, framed it, put it on the wall, and said he's a member. If you guys don't want, don't show up. Which is huge for a trainer to do that. Who the hell am I? Like, that's the opportunity to be on TV.
Yeah.
But they didn't want me to get the footage. And I said, don't worry, I'm not going to do that to you. And I didn't. And then they calmed down. But they were worried that I'm going to record everything and post it before them. There's enough to record. And my style is not stuff that they want anyways.
Right.
I want to joke around with the fighters and, you know.
Yeah.
They're looking for the perfect light, you know, sunrise and the guy jogging. I don't care.
Yeah.
I have so many videos everywhere working out. Yes, you want to get some new stuff, but.
Do you ever feel pressure to kind of be, oh, look, so while we're doing this, he's already posted on YouTube. Have you ever lost your phone and did you freak out?
I have a bulldog. She ate two of my phones. Ate them. Like, destroyed them. She was a puppy, not anymore.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, look, we're in the podcast room. Do you have a portable phone charger?
No, let me tell you what happened with that. So, lately, I've really been screwing up because my phone was on 1% and 2%. Once your phone gets that low, it takes forever.
Oh, yeah, everything's slow. Unfortunately, you're just waiting for it to die.
Yeah, so that Vegas, I had a big problem with that. In England, I had a big problem with that. I used to have three phones, and one fell in water, so that's out of commission. The other one, it's stuff you don't think about when you leave the house and your phone is at 100%.
Uh-huh.
It's when you get to 10%, 5%, 3%, and it starts dying, you're like, oh, man,
yeah.
I wish I brought the other phone, or I wish I had the portable.
Yeah.
But when I was in England, people sitting near me were very friendly and very nice. Unlike the American media, who's kind of more cutthroat or acts very, Hollywood, whatever, different manners.
In England,
reporter sitting near me, oh, here's a charger, hold on there for the rest of the day, just give it back to me. Like, who does that over here?
Oh, that's nice.
So.
Yeah, and the difference between you and I is if my phone dies, I kind of like it, because then I'm just, you know, don't have to be super connected. But for you, it's your livelihood, so I guess you need it.
I need it, and maybe one day I'll get a sponsorship by Apple or something. But life is great. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast. It's always a pleasure. I'm going to tell everybody to come check it out. It's called Olympic and Bundy.
Yep.
And it's great. It's my first podcast ever.
And so everyone... So people who aren't necessarily mega boxing fans and haven't seen your channel, how can people follow you?
Just type in ES News anywhere.
ES News,
and then you could find the YouTube channel. You could find my Instagram. My Instagram is about to hit 100,000 followers, which to me is insane because I post so much. I think if I followed someone who posted as much as me, I would unfollow. I always tell people it's so annoying, but I guess I give them good content. One of the clips I posted this week has almost 500,000 views, which is crazy on Instagram. So here, I'll show you really quick.
Yeah, that's a hustle. There's just so many places to put content too.
513,000 views.
Wow.
The only thing that came close to that was a picture of me and Justin Bieber.
Canelo, after his win over Triple G, was a close fight. Respect that both champs. Oh yeah, look, 500. Wow. I'm sure the Biebs got some views too.
Yeah, he's very popular. Great kid. He used to come to the gym, doors open, and give out $20 to each kid in the gym, no security, just by himself, just chilling.
Wow.
And I'm always dressed in sweats, so he thought I was a trainer. So he asked me if I could wrap his hands, and I'm a jokester, so I was going to do it. So my friend who's the coach was like, don't you dare, don't do it, don't do it. And I was like, okay, I won't. But he left his Gucci sunglasses in the gym and some other stuff and a hat, and the trainer's like, I'm going to put it on eBay.
Think he'll get the invite to his wedding?
But you see, I don't know. Now, maybe your trainer, not me. His best friend is very good friends with mine. Shout out to Lil Zay. But here's the thing. Through boxing, I get to meet all these people, which is crazy. Like, you're in gyms in not the best area sometimes, but you have all these major celebrities who love the sport. Yeah. Yesterday, do you know Baby Bash is?
Yeah.
I spent the whole day with him. I took him with me to Riverside.
Does he sing Sugar, Sugar, How You Get So Fly?
Yes, he does. Dun, 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 dun. Good job. And we're sitting at a restaurant with the trainer and other people, and all the waitresses were coming over to him for autographs. And I was like, wow, I didn't know it's like that. So then one waitress comes over and she said, oh, my friend loves you. My friend adores you. And he goes, what's her name? And she goes, no, it's a him. And we all laugh because he thought he's a good dude, though. Very nice person. A huge boxing fan.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I think it's cool that you get to travel a lot and, you know, just see new parts of the earth. And, I don't know, kind of get to know people. And it's just a cool way to live your life. Not easy, I think. You're always working, but definitely some pretty incredible experiences, I would think.
It is, and now I'm married, and hopefully we're going to have kids soon, so we'll see how things go from there. But right now, it's every day you have to live to the fullest, and you have to do the most that you can. Why waste days? Like Muhammad Ali said, don't count the days, make the days count.
Oh, heck yeah. Okay, well, I wish you guys a very meaningful Yom Kippur. An easy fast. That's what you say, right? Easy fast.
Wow, you're good. You covered. You didn't leave one stone unturned. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for EastNewsReporting.com. I'm Melissa Beck reporting.
That's perfect. That's great. Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. We'd love for you to tap those 5 stars in your podcast app for Olympic and Bundy, and better yet, maybe share it with a friend. Once again, I'm Kelly Taylor, and thank you very much for listening.